perfect timing.
Happy Thursday. I'm here with a wild bunch at the House of Fern Fang here. And I am very happy to be online with those masters of horror, Alan Gamboa, Rich Ristucci, and Scott Baker. I'm Hadley Thorne, and now before those chat room shenanigans start, be sure to show your support on The Weird Crew by liking, subscribing, and following us on your preferred platform. And Alan, I'm throwing this over to you.
Well, thank you. I'll see if I can catch this one. But I hope you're having a good Thursday, everybody. Tonight we're going to do Gross Point Blank, Better Off Dead, two great John Cusack's, two of my favorites of his. We're going to discuss those, and then we're going to roll into the last episode of The Last. We're going to talk about that, a little bit about that. Gross Point Blank is a comedy. So is Better Off Dead. Two different spectrums of John Cusack. Comedic talents on this one. I didn't have anything written up for that. I have notes, but nothing. But Better Off Dead was a movie that was directed by and written by Savage Steve Holland. And he's the creative talent behind, I don't know if you remember, Eek the Cat. The animated series Eek the Cat. It was exactly. Kind of a cult classic. And that got him into movies. Henry Winkler saw a short movie he did, and that's how Better Off Dead got made. So, Rich, would you like to give us the plot rundown?
Oh, Better Off Dead? Yeah. So, John Cusack is in love with his girlfriend, Beth, who's played by Amanda Weiss. And it's kind of a ski movie. That I guess the end all be all is if you can ski the K-12, which is this one crazy mountain that not everybody can ski. And Beth decides that she wants to dump Lane. His John Cusack's name is Lane Meyer. She wants to dump him for the guy that can, you know, the really hot guy that can ski the K-12, and he's like the head of the ski team and all that stuff. And so she dumps him. And the entire film after that is about John Cusack coming up with intricate and ridiculous ways to kill himself that he just can't follow through on. And then he sort of meets this girl that has moved in across the street. She's a French foreign exchange student, and she's moved in with these two morons, Ricky and his mom, Mrs. Smith, who honestly, the two of them kind of steal the show. They're just hilarious. They're just so repulsive and terrible. They're great. And so they move along with that. She fixes his car, the girl across the street, the little French girl. She fixes his beautiful Camaro, John Cusack's beautiful Camaro. They get in it, drive around. Then there's this like battle for the mountain supremacy between John Cusack and I can't remember the guy's name. It was Stalin.
Roy Stalin.
Stalin, right? Yeah. And he, so they do this race, and John Cusack wins, and happy-go-lucky, and that's kind of it. But really what makes this movie are the subplots. And one of the subplots is this little paper boy. He's like this greasy kid, and he drives around on his little bike with his little two-wheel bicycle with a card taped to the spokes, and it's, you know, rat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat. And he wants his $2, which is, you know, his payment for the week, and nobody will give it to him. And it's just about him. He chases John Cusack throughout the whole movie, and there's more than one paperboy. He's got like paperboy minions, and it's an excellent subplot. Yeah. And the whole movie is full of subplots. But this was one of my favorite movies when I was younger. I absolutely love this movie. It was a movie I would watch, you know, whenever I could. I had a VCR, of course, and the movie came out in 1985, so I would watch it a lot. I found it hard to get into this time. I really loved this movie when I was younger, and this time it was, I guess, comedy is just different now, and it was hard for me, and part of the difficulty was that I had loved it so much as a kid, you know, or, you know, a younger person. And I don't want to say it fell flat because I did laugh out loud several times. And you know, I knew it was coming because I've seen the movie 20 times before. But like I said, it was hard for me to get into some of the comedy that I had really enjoyed before. What did you guys think?
Sorry, your mom blew up, Ricky.
Yeah.
See, now that's what I mean. Stupid one-liners like that. Fantastic.
Look at that. Throwing away a perfectly good white boy.
I think when you're watching this movie, when it came out, I was like 20 years old. And I could relate to the, and I'm sure you guys could relate to not having the girlfriend that you lost your girlfriend and you'd do anything to get her back. You know, and she's just done with you. She's done with you. But you have this thing where you think you can get her back if you do some grand gesture. But, you know, that's not going to work, you know. And so I like that feel of this movie. But it's hilarious. I mean, it's not as hilarious as it was 20 years ago. I mean, the Van Halen hamburger claymation scene makes no sense.
Oh, it's ridiculous, and I loved every second of it.
Well, every time I hear Everybody Wants Some on the radio, you know, on Sirius or whatever, I instantly think of that hamburger patty with the rock and the Van Halen guitar.
Everyone on earth does. Yeah. Everyone who has seen Better Off Dead thinks of that.
And Curtis Armstrong, who plays his buddy Charles DeMar, I thought that was one of his better roles that he did, you know.
Booger.
Booger. And, you know, the two guys, the Asian race car drivers, I don't think you could get away with that now.
No.
But do you know who the one that did the Howard Cosell voice, you know who that is?
Yeah, he's a Karate Kid guy.
Chosen. That's Chosen from Karate Kid 2.
Oh.
Cobra Kai. So that's pretty good.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Some nostalgia going on here.
Yeah. And there's a, you know, crap load of people in here that if they have a, I'm trying to think. Dan Schneider that plays Ricky. That guy was one of the big wigs at Nickelodeon. He's a creep. He's a creep. You look up anything on him right now, he's a creep. Foot fetish. He all kinds of stuff going on with that dude. But he was funny. And then you had the teacher, Vincent Chiavelli, you know, with the wild hair. And you know, he was a times original high. Same
character. Geometric Dilemma.
Yeah. You had Stephen Williams, one of the guys trimming the tree going, you know, that's perfectly waste of a, you know, white boy.
Yeah.
You know, he's in Supernatural. So you had a bunch of people. You had the dude from MASH. I mean, you had a big
David Ogden Stiers,
yeah, you had a lot of people on this. And then Cusack, you know, this was his second movie. He had made Say Anything before this. It was in the can. It didn't come out yet. So I always thought this one came out first.
Well, he was in 16 Candles.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
And Weird Science. Wasn't he in Weird Science?
No.
Yeah. No.
He was in another like bit part movie, and Joan.
But this is his second leading man role. But I thought it was actually before Say Anything, but it wasn't. He looks younger actually in this one than Say Anything. But
yeah.
You know, I love this movie.
Yeah.
But it does not hold up. You're right, Rich. It doesn't. I mean, there were things that I really enjoyed when I was watching it that I thought was hilarious, but wouldn't fly today. The mom, when she would cook stuff, that was so gross. That raisins in the
when it was flopping down the road on the table.
Yeah, and that's Kim Darby from the original True Grit. He was the kid in True Grit.
Well, she reminds me so much of Sarah Silverman.
Mm.
I would have thought they were related. Something about the voice.
Oh wow. Yeah, no, she was old, you know, in the 60s, 70s. It was good to see her in that. So, what do you two think?
All right, I'll jump in. This is still one of my favorite movies. I love this one. I love the parents. David Ogden Stiers is the father who just doesn't want to be bothered. And the mother is, I love her dearly, but she reminds me of my mother. In honor of our foreign exchange student, we've got French toast and French fries.
French fries.
and then his little brother, who's picking up all these hot chicks.
Badger.
Yeah. And, you know, I want my $2. I had a friend of mine when I worked at the agency. She loved the movie. And every time, like, she'd walk by my cubicle, she'd stop and go, I want my $2. And it was bizarre. Curtis Armstrong was great. Diane Franklin, the French girl, was funny as hell. I met her once at a convention a few years ago. She is just as pretty today as she was back then. And she is such a sweetheart. And I love it. It's stupid. It's funny. It's so typical. You know, the hot blonde leaves him and goes out with the hot blonde guy who's the bully on the team. And then John Cusack rubs his nose in it at the end purely by accident because he's being chased by the kid who wants his $2. And like you guys said, the parents across the street, the mother and Ricky, oh my God, they were so, oh, they were just so over the top. But Ricky nailed it. The guy who played Ricky nails it because he's so good and he doesn't really do anything during the movie.
Right.
And I agree with you. The humor today, if this was released today, it would flop. Back then it was a class. I still love the movie. Anytime it's on, I watch it, and it just, you know, I still think it's great. I love it. Doesn't make, you know, it makes me nostalgic. It doesn't like, oh gee, you know, this wouldn't run today. It's just sort of like, yeah, this was my youth when I didn't have to worry about a mortgage and, you know, electric bills and credit cards and student loans.
That's the 80s right there. You know, if you live, that's it right there. They captured it perfectly with a bent, dark humor built to it, you know.
You want to feel old?
And I loved it when Curtis Armstrong would laugh at the bully's jokes and, like, put his arm around them like they were buddies.
This movie came out.
Hey, guys, I want to take a minute and let's say hi to everybody in the chat room, because we've got Mike, Landa, Tony, DL Mortones here, Blaine, David,
hi everyone,
Mona, Alan, and that's it. But we've got a pretty good crowd in the chat room, so I want to make sure that they know that we see their comments and that we're just having some technical issues.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We hear your puppy in the background.
What do you got, clown?
Y'all hear the heart of horses. That's them too.
Oh, and I forgot, before I pass it over to Hallie, I loved the two Asian exchange students.
Yeah.
The one who spoke English, he learned his English from Howard Cosell. It's a classic. It still is, but kids today wouldn't get it.
No.
Kids today.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Hadley?
I don't think that it held up, but I still enjoy it because, again, it's that, you know, that came out, what, in 85?
Yep.
And I was just getting ready to go into high school, and, you know, it's just so much. But I think today that we're looking at so much smarter dialogue in movies, and, you know, it's wittier and faster paced. So, yeah, just I liked it, but I didn't feel like it held up as much. And it was kind of soul crushing that it didn't.
Thanks, Hadley. You know, you say, oh, 85, I was about to enter high school. I had graduated college. Thank you.
Yeah, I was already in.
After this, I'll go eat my mush, watch reruns of The Price is Right, and go to bed.
Oh, don't even, guys. Don't even.
Well, you know, they didn't want Cusack for the lead in this.
Really?
Henry Winkler wanted him for the lead. So did the director, Steve Holland. But Warner Brothers didn't want him. They didn't think he could carry a movie. Because the Sure Thing hadn't come out yet. So Then, after at the premiere of the movie, 20 minutes into it, Kuzak went and jumped Savage Steve Holland's ass because he felt that the movie was dumb and that he was making fun of Kuzak. And so he was really angry and he was contracted to do One Crazy Summer, which is another really fun movie. I haven't seen it, but so they had a little spat between them, and then Kuzak filmed One Crazy Summer, and that was it. And years later, he dies to Savage Steve Holland about his reaction. But you watch that movie, and Kuzak gets a lot of that movie.
Yeah,
he's great in it.
Oh, he is. He is.
I don't know why he was so offended when he saw it.
Well, who did they want?
I don't know. I didn't read anything about who they were. Yeah. I mean, they weren't making
Anthony Michael Hall or someone like that.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. Because a lot of those movies were big at that time.
The John Hughes movies, yeah.
Yeah. So what would you guys let's rate this movie then. Rich?
Oh man, intrinsically, and because of my youth, I want to give it like a 17 out of 5. But
yeah,
I got to give it a 3.5 just because I was kind of let down. I couldn't wait to watch it. I couldn't wait to see this movie this week, and I watched it, and I was like, I was on the phone like texting back and forth with my friend, and I was like, it was hard to get into. I really couldn't wait, and it was just hard to get into. So I'll give it a 3.5.
Hadley?
I'll give it a 3.5 for that Jell-O scene alone. I don't remember catching it the first time. I had totally forgot about it. And it was just, he's just walking it. It was great. Again, it was more fun to remember it than it was to actually watch it again. But I love me some young John Kuzak, so I don't want Mona to knife me either. I don't need to get shivved today. But I'll say it's still a good 3.5.
Yeah. Okay, Scott?
5. I didn't disappoint me. I can understand where you two are coming from. Maybe it's because I never grew up. But I still love the movie. I still laugh at it. I still think it's insanely funny. And I think, one of those movies where almost every actor and actress carried their part perfectly.
Yeah.
So I still give it a 5, and I still watch it anytime if I'm clicking through the channels and it's on.
I'll give it a 5. This movie I love, even though some of the humor is kind of like, it's just like you said, that the actors were perfect for their roles.
Yeah,
and it was just fun, and it's a twisted movie. It's not just your straight teen comedy. There's a lot of twisted elements in it.
Yeah,
when the paperboy goes off the cliff, and
but the mailman looking through everybody's mail and dropping it.
He was a comedian too from the 80s and early 90s.
Let me see if I got him. I
can't remember his name.
Taylor Negron.
Who was it?
Taylor Negron. He has a lot of bit part. He's no longer with us, but remember he played the pizza guy in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes, he was in the comedy movie with Tom Hanks. Where he was a comedian. What was that called?
Oh, a stand-up?
Stand-up, yeah. Yeah. He was in that, too, as a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, well, he was a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just the parts like that, the guy that played the teacher, that was just a great part.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's a great quote.
Yeah. And his dad, even David Ogden Steers from MASH, that played his dad. He just went along with the mom's, quirkiness.
Yeah.
Which was kind of sweet. When he puts on the aardvark thing for Christmas, and
try to dodge the papers in the window by bringing the glass door up.
Yeah.
In the name of all that is holy.
See, what I loved about that was I was used to him as, not Burns.
Oh, Major.
Winchester.
Yeah.
I was so used to him as the prim, proper Winchester to see him as just a father who's trying to make it through and placate everybody was a riot.
Well, like when the mom made him that aardvark suit and he's like, yeah, everybody's going to be wearing these this year. And he goes out in the front yard and is wearing one and he looks embarrassed as he does. And he's kind of like, they got these aardvark heads on.
That was yeah.
They don't make movies anymore.
No, yeah. They don't.
Someone had asked if that was Boudreaux's weekend. No, that's Boudreaux's puppy that he got for Christmas, Wilson.
That was a clown you have in your basement locked up. Tell me the truth, Natalie.
Telling everybody everything floats down here.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to 1997. Gross Point Blank. Anybody want to take this one?
I think you should take this one.
I will take this. John Cusack plays Martin Blank. He's returning to his hometown for a job assignment during his high school reunion week. And he runs into his old love, and there's some sparks, and she's played by Minnie Driver, and shenanigans transpire because Martin Blank is
Superman. Shenanigans transpire because Martin Blank.
Are we getting a reverb?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't hear it now.
Cool. Cool beam.
Martin Blank is a hitman, and he shows up at town to complete an assignment, which happens to be Minnie Driver's dad. And he's stalked by Dan Aykroyd, who's another assassin, and he's trying to get Martin Blank to unionize because they're trying to get this assassins union together. And also there's two FBI agents that are after him too. One of them is played by Hank Azaria, who does all those great voices on The Simpsons, or used to do. And there's a lot of 90s music. It's great. It's a great play. It stars, it's also got, and I'm just wasn't really looking through my notes here. It's got Alan Arkin as a psychiatrist. Alan Arkin's always great. Old-time comedic actor. I said Dan Aykroyd. Joan Cusack plays a secretary, his sister. And Cusack plays one of the girls at the high school reunion, his sister. And Bill Cusack, brother, plays a waiter at the reunion. So it's like a family reunion. Jenna Elfman's in it. And you have Michael Cudlitz as Bobby DiStefano. And that's a great character. You know, love a Michael Cudlitz. But this has a lot of humor to it. It's got a lot of action. Great sound. Rich?
All right, so I'm that guy. You know I'm that guy. I can be overly critical. This was a movie that when I saw it the first time, I was like, it was all right. I didn't hate it. And so when I saw it again, this is probably 25 years later. I just watched it yesterday and I was like, I didn't hate it. I do like the action sequences and I like the fact that they don't do the John Wick style stuff with, you know, one bullet, one shot, one kill. There's like 8,000 bullets flying. He's you know, gunslinger style, just firing off bullets all the time. And he gets like one hit out of 75. Probably not the best assassin, but all the other assassins were doing the same thing. But honestly, I like that stuff. That was cool. And I like the way they worked the comedy into that. But what I didn't like was his actions with Minnie Driver. I thought the whole thing was kind of trite. I mean, of all the people that you would be the most terrified of, all the assassins take him away, that girl is the one that you don't want to see. Because he stood her up at the prom and never saw her again for 10 years. She would have killed him, for sure. I mean, if you stand a girl up for the prom, she spent $700 on a prom dress, you're a dead man. You don't go back. And he went back, and she's like, takes him back right away. And then they just do, they have these little, like I said, trite conversations where nothing really makes sense and nothing gets rectified. And then all of a sudden he's saving her dad's life and everything's cool. And I mean, they went to the prom before, the reunion before that. It just, this movie just wasn't for me. And I know I'm in the minority here because I know a lot of people really love this movie. But for me, it was just, I don't know, it just didn't work. And it was, I'm happy and I'm better for seeing it for sure. And I would say, you know, you got to watch it. But like I said, just not for me. Scott, what'd you think?
I missed this one. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right.
I had to get up really early today. And I was like, you know, do I get 1 hour sleep before I drive to Massachusetts or do I watch this movie? I'm going to watch it tonight. But I do remember certain scenes from it. And he's great at what he does. Every movie he's in, I like the character he plays. And I remember him in this one as just being a cool, somewhat comical assassin.
So you're not drawing a total blank then on this?
No, not a total blank. Just, you know, 60-year-old guy blank.
I agree with DL. Dan Aykroyd, he was a little too over the top. Yeah.
I like Dan Aykroyd in this movie.
And so does the dog, Winston.
Wilson has words. He's got stuff to say. He also has the hiccup. So if y'all hear hiccuping, that's him.
So what do you think, Abby?
Well, I like this movie. At the time, I went to see it at the theater. I mean, I remember going. But I will say, looking back at it, I swear I was listening to Minnie Driver talk and I thought, is that even her voice? Because you know she's British and it just didn't sound like her. Hmm. So anyway, I did not get to see all of it. I had something come up and I had to get away from watching the movie. But this is a good movie. I did not have the problems. I think Mr. Ristucci protests oh too much. Like maybe he left a dead girl and didn't go to the prom with her. Like,
no, I wouldn't do
are
that.
Are we seeing some residual here?
Right? You know, some girl left him.
What the heck? The prom. I mean, what's going on here?
You don't do that.
Seems like there's just a little bit of personal. Maybe he got
stuck. No, I'm just not stupid.
Maybe he's just the only one who talks.
So as a young lady, you know, going to prom, your date says, let's go to prom. You go out, you spend $700 on a dress. You wait for him, little rose in hand, waiting for him to come to the door, and he never shows up, and you never see him again. You're not going to track him down and kill him slowly? Come on. Absolutely.
I call that a dodged bullet.
Well, not when it's John Cusack.
Yeah, right.
Back then. Even when it's John Cusack, if a guy's going to stand you up for the prom, then you don't need to be with him anyway. And obviously, she lucked out because he went on to become a professional hitman.
Yeah, he made money.
Yeah, he was wealthy, but we got to figure. Yeah, I did like the Dan Aykroyd character. I felt like it was good, but I like Dan Aykroyd. So,
me too. I think Dan Aykroyd's very, very underrated. I think he's a great actor.
Yeah, what would have been great, what would have been funny is if they had the girly stand up beat going after him like Carrie Fisher did in the Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I like Alan Arkin.
We even talked about Jeremy Piven in it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was great.
Great.
He was really. Jeremy Piven's great in everything. He's another really underrated actor.
Hey, Jenny Slater. I love that part. Hey, Jenny Slater.
He ended up with Jenny Slater. That was going very well for him until Martin screwed it up by stabbing the guy with a pen.
Yeah. Alan Lester makes a good point that it was Cusack that was in Con Air too.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Con Air.
The agent, not FBI, but U.S. Marshal.
U.S. Marshal. Yeah. That's one of his better movies, I think.
Agreed. So Mona brought up a movie that he was in earlier. It was called Hot Pursuit. Honestly, I think that's his best film.
Really?
I love that movie. Apparently,
Alan go?
I don't know.
Ran away.
Another balloon?
There he is.
Oh, he's back. Balloon's back. No Chinese spy balloons taking you away. But yeah, I love that movie. I think that's his best film. And I couldn't remember what it was called until Mona said that. I actually looked it up earlier today and promptly forgot again. But I love that movie. Again,
you know,
this has made me want to rewatch Say Anything and High Fidelity too.
Yeah, both good flicks.
What is the one he did where the girl's dad like rips off a company or something? Is it Say Anything?
Yeah,
that's the one with the boombox.
I mean, incarcerated line.
Boombox thing.
Say Anything just kind of meanders to an end.
It's a girl movie, Alan.
It is.
You wouldn't understand. It's for the romantics in us.
That's why it meanders. Right. Now, I got to agree with Alan. My favorite Cusack movie is 2012. I know that movie is absurd. There's nothing about it. You got to shut off your brain to watch it and enjoy it. But he's just so good in that. I love him in that, especially the scene with him and Woody Harrelson at Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah. Woody Harrelson steals that movie with his.
Oh, my God.
Of course, he steals most of the movies he's in, you know?
Yeah. Woody Harrelson is grossly underrated. I think he's a brilliant actor.
Well, we've already talked about him being in The Paperboy. He was fantastic in The Paperboy.
Yeah.
I recommend anyone that has not seen it to watch it. We reviewed it. How long ago? It hadn't been that long, but
Was it last year?
Yeah, 6 months.
Now The Paperboy. We've done
Hot Tub Time Machine. Y'all notice maybe these are my picks because I really like John Cusack.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else has he been in?
You don't really see him. He doesn't play a bad guy a lot.
No.
Dogs.
But the bad guy he played in The Paperboy was that was next level. That was
It really showed that he can act.
Yeah, he's got range.
Yeah. Him and Samuel Jackson both did good jobs in two atrocious movies. 1408. Well, that wasn't that bad.
That was The
Cell. The Cell was sucked. The book was horrible. The book was great until the end. The movie wasn't that good. But him and Samuel Jackson, that's the reason to watch it, just to watch the two of them.
I agree.
Yeah. My favorite romantic movie is Serendipity, and it's him and it's great. And he also did being John Malkovich. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah,
no,
that's a bizarre movie.
Pushing 10, wasn't that with Billy Bob and Angelina?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, actually,
that's right.
The Thin Red Line. I bet you don't remember him being in that.
I remember him being in that. He was one of the few things about that movie that was his scene in that movie was the only good scene.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of good actors in that. Wasted, you know.
Travolta's character was just, oh my God. They could have got it. Not that Travolta's a bad actor, but the movie was so poorly written. It jumped from point of view to point of view. But the Cusack scene with the suicide charge was fantastic.
Yeah. No, he's got some great roles, you know, and then he's descended into B-movie hell right now.
Yeah.
And I know he railed against Hollywood at one time, and that did him no favors with getting big movies after that. You know, he's not a leftist. He's not a rightist. He's not an independent. His politics are weird. You know, he's got some weird ideas. And I think that's really hurt him in getting movies.
Well, he crapped all over Hollywood, like you said. And you don't poop where you eat.
Yeah. You don't.
And it just.
Because then it tastes like. But No, I haven't seen him in a really decent movie in years. He did that one with Nick Cage where he played a serial killer, and that was actually good with both those guys.
That's been a while back, though.
Yeah, so I really haven't seen anything. I know he's out in B-movies.
He did that series Utopia, and I enjoyed that.
Was it good?
It's a dystopian. not even, you just have to watch it. I mean, it's got to do with the plague and, I'm not going to ruin it for you. I enjoyed it. Y'all know I like dystopian stuff, so. He's done a couple of things. He hasn't made a movie since 2020.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it was Utopia. I'm looking at it right now. That was, it was 8 episodes in 2020. He's doing it. He's got a movie that came out in 2022 called Pursuit. I don't know anything about it.
Am I the only one who saw Dragon Blood?
Was that any good?
No, I've never even heard of it.
What movie?
Dragon Blade.
No, I haven't heard of it.
And it's
Lucius.
Jackie Chan and Adrian Brody. And it's like an action drama fantasy thing.
Hmm.
He plays a Roman leader that's going to China in like ancient times.
Nope.
Does he?
I mean, hey, it's. It is what it is. I'm not even going to make an excuse for it.
It's one of those movies where, nothing's on. I like Kuzak. I'll watch it. Yeah. So what would,
I love everything that's involved in it. So it's action as drama, it's fantasy. But it's action as drama, it's fantasy set in ancient China with the Romans. And so, yeah. I don't see him as a historical actor, though. He did do that. Edgar Allan Poe movie.
That was good. The Raven?
Yeah.
I actually liked that one.
I don't think I saw that.
Was he Poe in that one?
I have similar taste.
Yeah,
he was watched that in Dragon Blade.
Dragon Blade Z.
I actually started watching it recently. It's what a dork I am. So, yeah, I like these kind of movies. Y'all know this. So.
You're not a dork. You are refined.
What is it? A flavored button. I can't even talk, y'all.
what do we give this one, Rich?
I'll give this one a 3. I think of the two of them, this is, I definitely like this less. Like I said, I like the action scenes. Those are pretty good. Comically good. And I thought the dialogue between Cusack and Minnie Driver was just lacking, you know, and some of the shit that they did, like, you know, give me an airplane. Like, I mean, you haven't seen the guy in 10 years and he's got an airplane. I mean, it just didn't work for me. So 3.
Ms. Hadley?
I'm going to give it a 3.5. I didn't watch the whole thing, but just going on my memory, it's probably about a 3.5. I love it, like I said, but I love all his movies. I just enjoy the stuff that he picks.
I can't grade it. I didn't see it, so.
I'll give it a 4 because this is a movie my family, we all enjoy it. We watch it from time to time. So I'll give it a 4, so. Blah.
Right.
All right, so The Last of Us. Somebody want to do The Last of Us?
Any one of us can do it, really. Scott, have you seen it?
I saw it. I thought it was a great episode. When it started off, and I don't remember the character's name, so forgive me on this. When it started off, I was like, oh, this is going to be another one of these episodes, because it starts off with the African-American guy with the little boy that's deaf and can only speak sign language. And I was thinking, oh, this is going to be another one of these hour episodes where we do a backstory. And no, it was fantastic. He is being sought out by the woman, the crazy woman who runs that resistance unit. Because he betrayed her brother because his son was dying of cancer. And the person who wanted said, I'll give you what he needs to cure him, but you got to tell me who's in charge of the resistance and where they can find him. So the father does, as any father would. And now the sister who's in charge of the resistance is hunting him down. They happen to team up with the guy. What's the name of the guy and the girl? I can't
remember. Joel and Ellie.
Who?
Joel and Ellie.
They happen to run into Joel and Ellie right after the scene from episode 4 where they were ambushed in the street and had to abandon the truck. So the four of them, he says, you help us get out. You've got weapons. You've got the knowledge. What? Did I get it wrong?
Oh, no.
You were shaking your head. And I'll show you the way to get out. And meanwhile, they're being hunted down by the crazy woman who runs the resistance. And the more you get into it, the more you start to... She does remind me a lot of like a the governor. Right. You know, she's partly rational. She's partly over the top. And then there's this fantastic scene where they're just about making it out and the entire resistance movement comes in on them. And Joel grabs a rifle with a scope, goes up into the top of a house, and he's picking off people, trying to buy time for Ellie and the other two to get away. And I honestly thought that he was going to take out the weird, crazy woman running the resistance. And that would be like the end of it. They wouldn't know what to do. I did not expect that ending. And that ending was top notch. That ending just like, I was sitting in my seat watching it going, woo!
Me too.
Yeah. I don't want to tell the ending in case anybody hasn't seen it yet. But well, to me, it was one of the best episodes so far.
This episode, for me, it revitalized my interest in the series. I mean, not that I was losing it, but it just was like, oh, okay, it's going to be another Walking Dead. And what they did, like you said, with the ending, it's like, yes, we can move on now, you know?
Yeah.
I thought this was a great episode. It was action-packed. You got to know some of the other characters and that may or may not stay with the series. I don't want to give anything away, but it moved. It revitalized, refreshed me. I was like, okay, I can't wait till next week. So yes,
but I wish, you know what I want in my zombie movie and my zombie TV show more than anything else. What is it?
Zombies.
Right. I would first say show, bad people. Great. Lots of zombies. Second one. Several, it was pretty good, like running and hiding. And the third one, oh my god, no. We had 1.5 zombies, and the fourth one, there was one, and it was trapped under a rock, or that was the fourth one, and then this one. So, not wanting to wreck it for anyone, you're gonna get your zombies in this one. This one was the best zombie episode so far.
Yes.
So, like I said, I don't want to wreck it for you, but if you haven't seen it, see it. If you gave up on the show, go back.
Yeah.
This is great. If you don't want to watch it after this, well, then you're friggin' weird, because who doesn't love zombies? But you got to see this one. It was by far, for me, the best episode so far.
I agree.
What did you think, Hadley?
I liked it. Again, I'm a clean slate with this. I know nothing about the franchise. Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was a video game. So I'm just watching it and having a good time. But this episode, when the big reveal happened, I'm not going to ruin it because our good friends, the Martones, have not seen it yet. So I'm trying to be careful here. But
Martones!
It was very well done. And in that moment, I really felt like I was there watching it. It was overwhelming and scary and exactly what you think it would be like. Though I have to say, these people and their need for self-preservation, I kind of worry about, because, you know, some people were sticking around and it's like, I just don't know about that. And I will say that I kind of had a hard time with one of the mutant people because of there was no explanation on the size. And I'm guessing it's a video game reference.
Maybe, yeah. But you're talking about the Bigfoot one.
It was a little over the top for me, and it kind of pushed that line of this could be real, which up until that point, this seemed feasible. Everything that I've watched has seemed like it's something that could legitimately happen. And then they throw this kind of orc into things. And I just kind of, like I said, it subtracted points for the show for me.
He was a king truffle.
Cute. That's funny.
Now, was this the episode where she was thumbing through the dirty magazine in the car? Or was that last episode?
Last episode.
Last episode. I love the dynamic between the two of them. They hit it off so well.
They did.
They really do. That little girl, she's phenomenal. She nailed it Game of Thrones. She's nailing it in this show.
So what's next for Pedro Pascal? Who else is he going to escort through a danger zone?
I don't know.
He's going to be on a walker next.
Well,
knees are going to give out all this traveling he's doing.
He's going to come
back on March 1st, right? Is it March 1st? Definitely March. So it's soon.
Yeah, it's soon. Yeah,
man. Imagine being the star of two most popular TV shows out there.
Yeah, he was in Game of Thrones as well.
That's right. Yeah,
he was over.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if he gets his scripts mixed up. Okay, be snarky to people. Make a deal with these people to go through this zone. Wait. Make a deal with this guy to go through what?
Yeah, she's her range is really every episode. It just kind of reveals more.
Yeah, she did. Oh yeah.
Yeah, she gets rid. There's this funny scene in episode 4. They're in the car and she's looking at the dirty magazine from the car owner. And he's telling her, don't look at that. And she's like, I'm a girl. And she goes, why are the pages stuck together? And he has no clue what to say. And finally, she just says, well, I'm screwing with you. I know why. Yeah, the two of them are developing a great dynamic. Anybody that joins with them, I feel sorry. Anybody that joins with them, I feel bad for because nobody else in the show lives.
Yeah, it's you may want to avoid them.
Yeah. Hi, I met you. You're the guy that runs the city. You ain't going to make it.
I just want to remind everybody that's watching, please like, subscribe, do everything you can. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are trying to get our numbers up. So, y'all ready to wrap things up tonight?
Yeah. We got to say hi to Ash. He's a late comer to the...
Hey, Ash. Ash is one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
It makes my Facebook feed fun.
Yeah. Have you checked out his homepage on Facebook?
Do I need to?
Oh, it's... I'm surprised he hasn't been put in Facebook jail, if not banned. Other people around here get banned for defending people from bullies.
Yeah.
You know, Ash puts stuff on there. Like, every week, it's like, let me push the envelope just a little more.
I'm trying to figure out who Rich bribed to get off out of Facebook jail without... You didn't even get patted down.
No, it was the first time that I've been banned that I appealed, and I actually told them, you got... And I used words that I won't say now. That I used... I told the Facebook people, I was like, this guy, this is you. You suck, and this is why. Because what happened was... Somebody was attacking someone else, and I stepped in and said, dude, you're just being a... Well, we're not going to say what I said. Yeah. But they immediately banned me for it, and I was the first... I've never even seen, like, an appeal button, so I appealed, and within minutes, I saw something else, and I typed on it. I was like, bing, and it came up. I was like, oh, my God, I'm not banned. So, yeah.
How did you lodge an appeal? I can never figure out how to do it.
Me neither. Immediately came right up on the thing that it's like all red type, and which says you suck and you're banned because of this. And so then I just, there was a little button. Did we get this right? There were actually three buttons. Do you want to do this? Did we get it right? Do you think we didn't get it right? And so I was like, no, I clicked that light speed, clicked that thing and said, no, you suck. You Facebook people suck. And this is why. And apparently I got the one person who isn't, you know, a militant ass. And they said, oh, God, look, he's right. What I said was,
you're going to... Tomorrow, when we wonder why our video got pulled, I'm going to refer to this conversation.
Right. I should probably temper my thoughts on those people. But anyway,
please, I'm very vocal about what I feel about the mighty Zuck.
They let me back on, so it is what it is.
Well, wait a minute.
Happy for it.
You're a restuche. Yeah.
So I looked the other day at how many days in a year I was banned, and in 365 days I was banned 171 of them.
Wow.
Yeah. I got a big mouth.
No, you just don't agree with Facebook's policies.
Yes.
More like they don't agree with mine, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I got banned for, you know, threatening my cardboard cutout. Yeah, I remember.
You know, I appealed for quoting Ice Ice Baby too.
Yeah, yes.
That's my favorite.
My favorite one was when they banned me for showing the photo of Full Metal Jacket. This is my weapon. This is my gun. And they said it was pornography.
I think it was Suge Knight behind my Ice Ice Baby one. You know, he wanted his $2. Balcony like Vanilla Ice. So he banned me.
All right, guys. Well, tell me what you got going on.
Upper left-hand corner.
Anyone?
I guess that's me. I finished the first draft of Nurse Alyssa versus the Zombies 9. I'm hoping to get it out around April 1st. I'm about to start next week the first draft of the next Tatiana book, Tatiana, The Ghosts of Bethlehem Asylum. This one's going to take place in a haunted asylum. I don't think I'm going to be able to get a print box set of the Rotter World series out. I found out that it's not a box set like you would imagine, like you see on Amazon. It's an omnibus. And all three books come out to 1,100 pages. Amazon only allows you 880. So I'm probably going to have to figure out another way to do it. I'm going to see if I can put it on Book Funnel or something. So, but the Kindle version of Rotter World Saga, the first three books, is available on Amazon for 99 cents.
Nice. That's a good deal, too.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great series.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I've got go ahead, Hadley.
I was just laughing. You laughing.
I'll run out real quick here. Hunt the Night is available in paperback in the UK and the USA now. I know a couple people are waiting on that. I've got an offer to write a sequel to Zombie Island, which I'm going to look at and see what that entails. So maybe. Turn it over to you guys.
What you got, boss?
I've got a great cover for Dawnbreaker, the House of Blood and Sun, and getting the last done edits for it, and hopefully we'll be releasing it soon, no later than St. Patrick's Day, I'm sure, because I like to do things on fun days, so we'll try for St. Patty's. Other than that, we got lots of stuff going on at Weird Realities, and I'm super excited. We're updating our website. We're going to have a place where you can buy merchandise, and someone actually just, Alan Lester, just sent me a message asking about our merchandise, so I will plug it. But we're going to have some great stuff. Y'all know Morgana that does Weird Awakenings. She's a graphic designer by day, and she does some incredible stuff, which we've got some really cool stuff coming up. Anyway. So we've got that. We've got some new members to the Weird family. So we're taking some partners. Mr. Ristucci's been doing a lot of author outreach to garner us some new artistic partners. And I'm super excited to – you want to tell people about that, Rich?
Yeah, sure. So I've reached out to some of the excellent authors that I know and a few other not necessarily authors and not – two of them are actually in the chat room right now. DL Martone, Daniel and Laura Martone, and David Muga. They have decided to join us, and they're going to be part of the Weird Realities family. And I've also reached out to a few other authors, whom I won't name right now, and whether they decide to come in or not, that's one thing. or another. And I've got a video game designer who I've looked at, you know, the video game trailer that he has, and it is just stunning. It's actually a zombie game too.
Ooh.
So he recently lost his publisher for that. I guess they had some financial problems or something, but I think he's found another one. He's out of New Zealand and he's a great guy and he's super smart and he's funny, and trying to get him to join us. And then I got hopefully a very popular cover artist to join as well. So if you guys are all looking for covers, I know he's worked with Scott before, but again, I don't want to say his name if he doesn't end up joining. Yeah. And I've got offers to join either via partner or, you know, Weird Family out to 7 other authors, I think. So hopefully we'll be turning that around. And we've got new podcasts coming. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and don't forget our partner shout out. We've got what, 4 new partners so far? Metaphysical Mississippi. We've got Stephen Landry, whose incredible talent is just out. So, he's just great. And we've got Sylvester Barzi, who's one of my favorite people. And it seems like there's somebody else, and I can't remember. And I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on it. I've been working on that website so hard that I really just am seeing blank spaces in my head. So sorry about that.
Not a gross point blank?
Yeah, I do have a gross point blank. Yeah, so other than that, we've got some incredible stuff coming up tomorrow night on Weird Awakenings. Morgana and the crew are going to be discussing comparative religion. So that should be a crazy show, knowing those kids. In addition to that, on Monday night, those Wild Women of Weird are coming back, and they're going to be talking about Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee and Pam's new documentary on Netflix. Then on Wednesday, those Beautiful Blondes and their books and Campfire Tales are back. They're going to be talking about the myth and lore behind, I believe, Jeepers Creepers, and then the movie franchise. So that should be a good one. And then next week, we'll be back. Any idea what we're going to be watching?
Not yet.
Best film.
Nothing yet. So we'll be announcing that tomorrow, guys. I'll put a thing up as soon as I find out what we're going to watch.
I'm hoping we get to do late February, early March, Cocaine Bear.
Yeah. That should be fun.
That movie looks hilarious.
Sorry, I had to kill a spider.
Oh, well, fine thing.
It was an emergency.
Yeah. Oh, you were called to kill a spider. Yeah,
yeah,
I know that.
Yeah, so tell us about that spider. How big was it? Like 4 feet wide?
Oh yeah. I had to strangle it.
Oh,
found its neck. You know how they have necks, you know, and I choked it out. So
I don't want spider necks. Yeah, okay.
All right, kids. Well, that's going to wrap us up. We're right at an hour. Anybody got anything else they want to add, plug, or anything?
No, just wish me luck. This Sunday night, I am going to be doing I'm going to be joining a group that also runs the Salem Paracon. I'll be going with them and overseeing a paranormal investigation of Grants Inn in Connecticut. I'm doing it as research for the book, so hopefully I'll come back alive.
Hey, get cleansed, man.
You don't need to bring anything home with you.
No, I won't. Please believe me. Anything that like infects me is just like, I gotta get out of here.
All right. What about you, Rich? What you got going on?
Oh, I haven't written all week. I've just been too busy and flying around. I still have the next in the theory series. I'm at about 60,000 words with that, and I'm shooting for 100,000. The Vampire Tank Commander, that's sitting at about, I think it's up at about 40,000 words. I got the Sasquatch story going, but I haven't touched that in a while. And I have another story going for Skywatcher Press, and that one's just kind of stagnating as well. I can't get to anything. Life is getting in the way. So
yeah.
I gotta write this weekend. I gotta do some writing.
Right on.
I am now.
Yeah, y'all are making me feel guilty about that. But the website looks good.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We will see y'all next week. And until then, y'all stay weird.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everybody.
Ciao.